This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
My confidence is good. I know that there might be some confidence lacking in other places, but my confidence is good. I'm glad that all the frost and all the fluff is gone. And we're really looking at where we're at. And I think this is where I get excited, okay? We can either be what everyone says we are, or we can go out and prove them wrong and be something totally different. It's gonna take a lot of work, because it's not like you can just flip that light switch. I mean, what you see is what we are right now. Doesn't mean we gotta stay there.
That is Dino Babers, of course, at his weekly media gathering today. We welcome you back here on the block, ESPN Radio. 437-7644 is the phone number to get on board. Brent Axe Media on Twitter. Our text line is 288-0644. All great ways to get in touch with the program. Let's go right back to the phones. Tim in Eastwood's on the block, ESPN Radio. Timmy, happy Monday, man.
Hey, Brent. I know I talked to you Friday about the veto, but one thing I still want to... I can't get out of my head about the game on last Thursday was... How did they take that touchdown away from Cameron Jordan? I haven't seen a replay where he stepped out of bounds. I don't, and if he did go out of bounds, he was pushed, which means he can catch the ball. I still haven't seen a logical explanation for that touchdown being taken away. Hopefully, maybe you can provide it.
I wish I could, but I can't. I don't know. I mean, if anything, it was interference, and that didn't get called, and it was just one of those things. There were two plays that were not interference, I believe, on that same drive, Tim, that didn't get called, because Tristan Jackson got interfered with, too. And then, to be fair, they did call two interference calls that needed to be on the ensuing drive. But that Cameron Jordan play, I'm still waiting for a logical explanation of that. Look,
me too. Yeah.
ACC officials this year have been a disaster. They have made so many calls and games that I have watched that do not involve Syracuse, by the way, that make me question why these guys still have jobs. And, you know, they get reviewed, and we hear all these things about coaches that submit things for review. And, Tim, thanks for the call and the question. I'm sorry I couldn't help you with that Cam Jordan thing. I still don't know what happened there. That should have been a touchdown. At the very least, it should have been interference. And I don't think he held onto the ball long enough for it to be a touchdown officially, but... I didn't even want to bring this up on Friday because there were so many other things that led to Syracuse losing. But officiating, I'm sorry, it has just been a farce in the ACC this year. Which brings me to the ACC itself is kind of a mess, right? Like, Clemson is far and away the best team in this league, and even they've been knocked down a peg or two. And by the way, if I'm Clemson, I better not lose a game or I'm out of the playoff discussion. I mean, they steamrolled Florida State this weekend, and think how far that series has come. Those used to be the two teams once upon a time in this league, like a few years ago. That Clemson-Florida State game used to be one of the most anticipated matchups in college football. Now there's Clemson, there's an ocean, and then there's everybody else. And then as I was reading Andrea Adelson, our good friend from ESPN, she does her power rankings every week. And when you go through 2 through 13 in the ACC power rankings, it could be in any order. The only thing clear in the ACC is that Clemson's the best team and Georgia Tech's the worst. Everything else in between, it's just a mess. Now, it's entertaining, right? Because you just don't know what you're going to get week in and week out. But let's just check in on the ACC, shall we? So you had NC State beat Syracuse Thursday night, and for all we've discussed here, that was a bit of a surprise to most people. Then on Friday night, Miami beats Virginia 17-9, that Miami team that has given up the most sacks in college football this year. Virginia, top 20 team. Bryce Perkins could not get anything going at Miami, who's now 3-3 with that win, and just another low-scoring ESPN, feel bad for them. On back-to-back nights, they had a 16-10 and 17-9 ACC matchup. Hashtag go ACC, baby. So then Clemson rolls Florida State. How about Wake Forest? Wake Forest puts up over 600 yards of total offense. They score 59 points, and they lose to Louisville. Louisville, who, oh, they're kind of a thing. They're 4-2. They beat Wake 62-59, so at least you had an entertaining game there, but one that just came out of the clear blue sky. By the way, Jamie Newman, real deal. Wake Forest, I don't know. I know Syracuse doesn't play Wake until the last game of the season, but they're legit. I know they lost, okay? But so now you have a situation where every team in the ACC not named Clemson and Wake has at least two losses. Duke rolled Georgia Tech. We mentioned how bad they are. Virginia Tech beat Rhode Island. The team that Syracuse plays Friday night, now they didn't play this weekend, but remember when they played Duke last weekend, they built a 23-point lead, lost it, and barely escaped with a 33-30 win. There were 10 combined turnovers in that game. So if you're a Syracuse fan who sits here at the midway point of the season and you think you know what's going to happen in the next six games, I'm here to tell you, you don't, not only because you can't see the future, but because the ACC is a giant toss-up right now. You just don't know what you're going to get week by week. Now, Syracuse, we're starting to discover what kind of team they are. They've got a hurt quarterback who's struggling in his first start. And again, if I just blindly told you that your quarterback was going to go 20-39 for 300 yards in a game, you will take that every single time. But as you peel away the layers from Thursday night's matchup, we know that a lot of that came in the second half, and a lot of that came in a situation where, well, you got to have more than 10 points, right? And you've got to cash in more of those opportunities, and Syracuse can't run the football, and their offensive line is a mess right now. So numbers can be deceiving, and they clearly were in that case. So we kind of know what Syracuse is. So if you're a quarterback who's been sacked 26 times and you've got a bad offensive line, the last thing you probably want to see come into the Carrier Dome Friday night is a team who's second in the nation in sacks. Its strength is its defensive line. And, oh, that's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has 28 sacks. That's second in the country. Or pardon me, they have 27, which is second to Ohio State's 28. They're 19th in total defense. They're averaging 4.5 sacks per game. They are averaging 8.2 tackles for loss per game. And look, if anything, Pitt's been interesting this year. I brought up the Duke game. The week before that, Kenny Pickett was out. They almost lost to Delaware. Hi, I'm in Delaware. The week before that, they escape. They ran not the Philly special, the Pitt special, right? Beat UCF by a point, 35-34. Lost to Penn State the week before that. And that was the week that Pat Narduzzi, and rightfully so, got ripped for his fourth down play calling. Beat Ohio 20-10, and they started the year with a loss to Virginia. So the last 4 weeks, Pitt's played in a bunch of close games and won a couple of them, not only because their defense is dominant. Kenny Pickett, when he's healthy, is one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC right now. He can be wild. Like I said, there were 10 turnovers in that Duke game. But what I like about Kenny Pickett is he's got some Eric Dungy in him, and he'll take chances. He's got an attitude, and he's good in the clutch. He was brilliant when he needed to be against Duke, and he threw some bad picks in that game, too. I mentioned that game was all over the place. 10 turnovers. So Pitt's got a quarterback who can put up numbers in the right spot. They do have some talent on the offensive side of the ball. It's Mac and Maurice French is one of the better wide receivers in the ACC. Those two have put up a huge bulk of the receiving numbers. But that defense, there are five players on this Pitt defense that have three or more sacks. And by the way, they're missing two of their better defensive linemen. And this is the difference. See, what we're seeing happen at Pitt is something you look at Syracuse and you kind of scratch your head. Because Pitt has lost Weaver. They lost Camp. Both knee injuries. Those are two of their better defensive players. But Twyman has six sacks. Jones has four sacks. Belladino has 3.5 sacks. Alexander has been great I mentioned the numbers. It's depth. It's an entire defensive line. Think of the headache you have if you're Mike Lynch this week. And he was on earlier with Orange Nation. You can listen to that at ESPNSyracuse.com, or it is on our iTunes feed as well. Just subscribe to ESPN Syracuse. Because, like, flip the script. If you're game planning for Syracuse and you're game planning for that defensive line, you know you got to double team Alton Robinson. At times, you got to double team Kendall Coleman. And you got to take your chances that the rest of that defensive line can break through, or take your chances on when Syracuse will blitz, when those linebackers can get to the quarterback. No matter where you look on this Pitt defensive line right now, they're getting to the quarterback. And you're going to put your offensive line up against that? Your offensive line, who, do I really need to get into how much they've struggled? I've given you the numbers. I've given you everything else. We get it, Brent. The offensive line isn't good, and it's not. So if Syracuse is going to break through, get a win at home on a Friday night on ESPN once again, and tilt not only the scales of the season back in their favor, you got to get some of this fan base back in your corner. I think there are fans that are there week in and week out that understand the situation they're in. They're level-headed. But what happens when you lose a game like Thursday night is the Dementors come out in force. The people that love to only be heard and seen when the team's being bad. And that's fine. If you use social media, this show, whatever form it is to vent your frustration, I'm fine with that. I actually tweeted this over the weekend. I got some interesting responses to it, but I said, it's funny how I only hear from certain people when the team does bad. And then I thought about it a little bit. I'm like, well, I guess that's what I'm here for, right? We're more apt. I could really get into the psychology of this, trust me, but I don't want to bore you. But I think we are more apt to express ourselves in certain formats negatively than we are positively. Think about it. If you're at a restaurant, you are more apt to call over the waiter, complain to the manager, or speak up if something's wrong. If you have a great meal, sometimes you just kind of pat your belly and say, "Whew, great meal. I'll have to come back here sometimes." We're not always apt to walk out the door, shake the manager's hand, and say, "That was a great meal. My compliments to the chef." So when you're content, you're not as apt to speak out. But when you complain, oh boy, you can't get that manager over there fast enough because your soup's cold. So I says, "Taste the soup." "Is there something wrong with the soup?" "I taste the soup, sir. Is there something wrong with the soup?" "Taste the soup." "Where's the spoon?" "Aha." Sorry, I had to do that joke. Anyway, so that's fine. If you're one of those fans, hey, I can show you a bunch of texts on our text line, and trust me, I got mountains of evidence here. Some people that were using my name to promote themselves on Twitter this weekend, who I will not mention here on this radio show, know what I'm talking about, right? By the way, to that person, and I hope you're listening real clear. Okay, I'm just gonna say this, and I'm gonna move on. If you think that I stink, that's fine. If you think Mike Waters is bad at his job, you, sir,
the guy is drunk,
are a moron.
That's just dumb.
Dumb.
I can't even begin to express how stupid you are if you think Mike Waters is bad at his job. Like, take a step back, really think about that one, and then, like, take 10 more steps back so we don't have to look at you anymore. Like, that is beyond the pale of absurd. Anyway, rant over. 437-7644. I know most of you don't even know what I'm talking about, and I don't even want to bring attention to it, but come on. Give me a break. Brent Dax Media on Twitter, speaking of which, the text line's 288-0644. More to come on that. Would love to hear your thoughts on this football team, your team on a football Monday. The blind side's coming up. It's Monday. That means we got 10 questions, baby. Double the pleasure, double the fun. Stay right there.
This is On the Block with Brent Dax.
Welcome back. You're on the block, ESPN Radio. Seth Goldberg is in studio. He has sound for the blind side. He is currently pulling that up on the computer. Okay. I'm excited. We have production like value in the blind side today.
I feel like when Alex Trebek is like, ooh, video clip.
How exciting. Let's get into it, shall we?
It's time for The Blind Side.
And it is presented by our friends at Burdick Toyota, where they have the lineup with it all. The great fuel economy of the Corolla, the sheer power and towing capacity of the Toyota Tundra, all the great lease deals. You can visit BurdickToyota.com, or better yet, stop in Burdick's Toyota in Cicero. You may fire when ready, sir.
Were the Dolphins trying to win with their two-point conversion?
I think so.
Because I don't.
Maybe they realized in that moment, like, whoa, hold on a second. We kind of got away with ourselves here. We're trying to win a game. Whoa. Didn't you guys get the tank memo? Like, what's going on here? That Redskins-Dolphins game, I want to see the ratings for that.
I wanted more of it on Red Zone. I wanted to see more of it.
It was not the worst game of the week. And it was like, had all the elements, all the ingredients to be the worst game of the week. And it actually wasn't. There was drama.
I think they were trying to lose. Do the Chargers have any fans?
That's a valid question. And if they do, they still live in San Diego. Now, you knew there'd be Steeler fans in that building. But there are all Steeler fans in that building on Sunday Night Football, to the point where Chargers players were complaining about, they were like playing anthems. And I mean, I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast today, and he brought up a great point. I know Steeler fans travel, and they're all over. But there's that many Steeler fans in L.A.? That's amazing. That many people from Pittsburgh have relocated? They took over a stadium!
Or just decided to spend a weekend in L.A.
Well, really, I probably came from other parts of you know, the West Coast. I get that. But I've never seen anything like that. Have you ever seen a visiting team's fans take over a stadium?
To be fair,
like
it's a little easier when you're playing in a 27,000-seat stadium than when you're playing in a 70,000-seat stadium, but no.
The worst experience I had with that, by the way, quick aside, was 2004 Bills Steelers. Okay, if the Bills win this game, they go to the playoffs.
Whoa.
And they're playing Steeler backups.
They didn't
You're
win.
Getting the point of the story. Not only did they not win, there was, I'd say 30% of the Ralph were Steeler fans. And I went on a trip, shout out to my boy Mark and his crew, went on a trip with Steeler fans. So I got a ride home for 3 hours. With Steeler fans gloating about fact that their third stringers beat my first stringers, Willie Parker and company. I'll never forget it. That was miserable.
Willie Parker.
Miserable.
Longest run in Super Bowl history, Willie Parker.
Right. That's right, man.
Is there a Taylor Swift curse at the Staples Center?
Apparently there is.
That's what they say.
LA Kings fans are this is strange. So if you're not familiar with the story, there is a banner. We have the Billy Joel banner at the Dome,
yes.
Right? So in L.A., they have a Taylor Swift banner, most sold-out concerts at the Staples Center. Kings fans want this banner covered up during the games. And the team actually bragged about the fact that we got the message from the fans, we've heard our fans, and it is a sign that we listen to our fans, that they cover up this banner. This is why you think your team is bad?
Yes.
Because of a Taylor Swift banner? Sports fans are weird! This is coming from a Red Sox fan who believed in a certain curse.
I mean, that was real.
Until 2004.
That was real, though.
Do you remember what happened?
No.
See, that's the thing with 2004, Seth. Like, that was a good part of 2004.
I don't remember what happened there.
You don't remember what happened there?
I was young.
Would you like me to remind you what happened there?
Okay. When do you start asking whether Syracuse should hold out injured players and redshirt them?
That's a fair question.
Andre Sisco and Ify Melifonwu have played 3+ games.
Let me go the other way, too. When do you start asking yourself if you should play younger players who are in line to be redshirted more to help your offense? I would not redshirt Sisco. Ify, not to do the obvious pun here, that's an iffy decision. I'm sorry. Waka waka.
You get the
I don't
the
think
horn.
So, though. I need Sisco. I need Sisco in the line.
All right, we go to our...
You want me to give myself
I do. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Just for you.
We go to our audio clue.
This is an audio clue. I'm excited.
Is this an accurate description of your favorite ESPN personality?
All right, let's go.
And before you watch this, if you've never heard Stephen A. Smith talk before, just know this. He tends to be loud, wrong, and take pointlessly dramatic pauses.
You don't just think about yourself when you act. That's what boys and girls, without any thoughts of the consequences coming down the pipe.
Again, if you're not a sports fan and you're just now seeing Stephen A. Smith for the first time, let me address a few things quickly. One, I'm sorry. Two, yes, he's always like that. And three, no one knows why.
I mean, nailed it. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Great audio clue here in the Blind Side.
I'm serious.
John Oliver, once again,
nailed it. Something to the Stephen A. button, too. Did you see the video of him doing the Jets chant this weekend?
No, but now I'd like to.
Palms get sweaty, backsides get tight.
Is there anything more annoying in sports than the tomahawk chop?
Oh, I'm sure I could come up with a few things.
That's up there.
That's right up there. It's pretty dated. As we saw in the previous playoff series, there was somebody with Indian descent that was offended by it and asked them to stop doing it, and... yeah, there's certain things in 2019 maybe we really shouldn't be doing anymore, and I kind of put that up on the list. But for all political correct things aside, it's annoying.
It's just annoying. Does Jason Garrett make the season?
I'm going to say he does, because that team's too good to fire their coach. Like, that offensive line, I think Prescott comes around. Zeke, good defense. Like, is that team going to go 7-9? If they do, yeah, you got to fire him, but he'll make it through the season.
Can Reggie Jackson get away with multiple F-bombs on satellite radio?
He can get away with whatever he wants.
Did you not see this story?
Reggie Jackson. I heard all about this story. I heard the audio of this interview, too.
It's good.
But he's Reggie Jackson, man. I put Reggie on a list of Reggie can get away with whatever Reggie wants.
You did a little satellite radio. What were the rules there?
So, really, there aren't any.
Like, you could if you want to.
Oh, yeah. Now, what they tell you is, like, don't abuse the privilege. But if I wanted to, I could have said some naughty words.
Like, get the bleep out of here when you don't
now,
like a caller.
The two shifts that I did were Sunday morning. So, let's just say I wasn't going to do that anyway. But you are allowed. But not a lot of people actually take advantage of that.
Are the 49ers the best team in the NFC?
No, I still think Seattle's the best team in the NFC, but I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but when Seattle plays San Francisco, we're going to get the answer to that.
Last one. When you hang up the headphones, are you getting a studio retired around, named after you around
wow,
here?
Wow, great question. Congratulations to Laura Han.
Yes.
47
That's a
years.
Long time.
God bless that woman.
That's amazing.
So they named the studio Channel 3 after Laura, which very well deserved. They'll have to put Wayne Mahar's name on there, too.
He gets, like, the weather deck, maybe. Okay. What do you think? He can get, like, the weather?
The Wayne Mahar weather deck?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll give him that. So, of course, our friend Glenn Gomez Adams has the studio named after him across the hall on TK99.
Boomer and TJ have the NFL studio in Bristol.
I have seen that. Now, when I hang up my headphones, I'm going to be shown the door, and they'll say, thanks for your service. Now get out of here. Okay? And by the way, give us those headphones back.
Yes.
But those are my headphones. But they'll still take them back. But I bought those are my headphones. As Seth knows, like, these things are literally falling apart.
You can keep those.
They're falling apart, but I got to use them. I love these headphones. I'm too cheap to buy new ones. So how about that? You don't have to name a new studio after
just
me,
let
but
you keep the,
can
the
I
headphones?
Have a new pair of headphones? That's all I want.
No, we'll let you keep the old ones, though.
Hey, Yankees on Deck coming up in 10
it
minutes.
It is.
Playoff edition. So stay tuned for that. One more segment on this show. Hang in there.